Wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is for you. Welcome. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your witchy doctor, your change advocate, and today your truth teller. And we are on the Inspired Choices Network, where we inspire others to make the right choices. Today, you're stuck with me. I am alone today, not interviewing someone else, and I'm here to talk about stories versus truths. Because what we know, what we think we know, can possibly just be a story. And stories can change. They may not be truths. And I invite you to think about life and how we go through life, because much of what we really say, this is how it is, this is real, this is truth, is really a story that we've all agreed upon. And in this day and age, you know, there's news and there's facts, and there's news and there's fake news. And it's really hard in this day and age with AI, especially, to know what's real, what's truth. Even photographs now can be changed and doctored and like, is that real? People can add people to a photograph, you know, there's the Epstein files, you know, is it truth? Did they really, were they really caught in there? Is anything AI'd and doctored up? And I'm sure there are people who are going to think that someone played with the truth, because that seems to be what people are questioning all the time. But what if we go back to all of it, and what is a truth? Because there's 7 billion people on the planet, which means 7 billion different minds taking in the environment around them. And not to mention the truth that plants have and the truth that animals have. And, you know, we're all taking in energy in the form of light, in the form of sound, in the form of smell, touch, taste, temperature, pressure. All of this is energy, different wavelengths and different forms of energy that are interacting with our body. Now, our body feels the energy. Sometimes we feel it as light through our eyes, wavelengths of sound through our ears, smells through our nose, taste, right? Now, if anyone's ever had a cold, you might notice that things don't taste the same, because smell and taste actually interact. They're synergistic. If you had COVID, you learned that you can still be completely you and you can lose your sense of taste and maybe smell. So reality changes, because all of a sudden then you go through life perhaps and you no longer smell things, and your reality is different because you no longer have smell as a sense that takes you back to history in your own historical knowledge of what you have experienced before. I always think about this, like dogs have an incredible sense of smell. So their map of Earth and reality is, you know, imagine they were to draw a map of their neighborhood. It would be like, pretty little dog is here, funny skunk lives here, and, you know, there's honey smell over here. Like, they probably smell and design a map in their brain, which leads them to places based on their reality with a heightened sense of smell. Now, mind mapping, my reality versus your reality. Always, if our brains tried to take in all the bits of information of all the wavelengths of sound and taste and touch and smell and light and everything in our environment, we might get incredibly overwhelmed and really not be able to function because our mind was so distracted by all the different energy coming in. And so the mind learns to filter things. And therefore, it makes a mind map. It distorts, it deletes, it dampens, it literally chooses what sounds are important to hear, what smells are important to notice. My cats love to destroy my house with, because they like to mark their neighborhood with their smell. When I walk into my house, sometimes the smell is pungent and I can't stand it and I really want to get rid of my cats. But ironically, as I sit in the house longer, my nose adapts and it no longer has the same abhorrent sense of smell that I had initially. And some people come over to my house and they don't notice the smell that makes me want to gift my cats to some other folks sometimes. And so, again, my sense of smell is heightened and I notice things that others don't. A dog's sense of smell is so much more than mine. And when I sit in a place for a while, my sense of smell changes. And so my reality changes, right? A bat has an intense sense of hearing. So if they were to make a map, it would all be based on the sounds that they're hearing. And indeed, they can fly and hunt based on their sense of sound, right? So my mind map is different than your mind map. We've all seen funny maps as well. I grew up in New York, and there's lots of maps of the United States and the world where New York City is absolutely front and center, larger than life, and everything else in the Northern Hemisphere and the Europe and stuff is tiny, and Manhattan is huge. Now, if you go to Texas, they have a very different map, and they sell maps where Texas is really large, right? And I'm bringing this up out of fun and silliness, but it's true that what you bring into your mind is unique to you, your viewpoint, and how you interpreted what you experienced. Two people can experience the same event. For one, they're incredibly traumatized. And for another one, it was a disheartening, disquieting, difficult event, but they don't carry it with them as a life-changing trauma. And why can two people have such diametrically opposed experiences? Well, it starts with what happened before and how their brains were wired to take the sight, sound, thought, image, emotion in, and simultaneously the tools they used to process what they were feeling in the immediate aftermath of what happened. And so, not infrequently, if something bad happens, but you have supportive people around you to remind you that you're strong enough to get through this, that they will be there for you, that somewhere in this you will find, you know, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or the rainbow at the end of a bad rainstorm, that some kernel of meaning and purpose will be made out of this tragic event, then you start growing new interpretations, new meanings. Also, if it was very traumatic, someone may be very wise and tell you, you know what? Animals in the wild shake violently when they've escaped death. And humans would be wise if they did the same. But most of us don't know to do that. So I recently spoke to someone who saw an intruder in their house and had to get them to leave. And that is very, very traumatic and very destabilizing. And how can I feel safe in my own home when someone just came into my home? What if I didn't scream? Maybe they would have hurt me. Would I have hurt my children? Would they have stolen things? Like all of those questions come up of, oh my gosh, what just happened? Am I safe? And what could have happened? Or maybe they did harm to you and you had to act, let the harm occur, and you then had to process an even more traumatic event. Well, if you didn't know that shaking, feeling the event, screaming about the event, processing the event, maybe with art or music or dance or rage or whatever needs to come out energetically, then the energy would be stuck in your body. You'd have a story about what happened. And you'd have trauma stuck in the cells of your body. But it's really so, number one, how we interpret the event is critical. And then the story we tell about the event is critical. If someone breaks into your house and then they flee, your mind is stuck wondering, would they have hurt you? Why did they come in? Were they confused and they thought it was their house and they were drunk and they tried to get into their house because they lost their key? Were they gonna steal good? Like, there's so much stories that we tell ourselves because we're trying to fill in the blanks and the gaps of what we don't know. And I'm reminded right now, I'm watching a show that takes place in the 1700s, and there's a shipwreck, and the town goes to the beach and steals the goods that came on the shore from the shipwreck. And the elite and the gentry want to punish the poor people in the town for stealing all the goods. And one of the gentry stands up and said, I'm sorry, if food and clothing show up on a public beach and you're starving and don't have money to buy clothes or shoes and you don't know who owns it, is it theft? Are they bad people who went out for a robbery? Or was this sort of the universe gifting the poor a way to eat? And can you have compassion for people who are starving that steal food because they're starving? And so when you don't know the truth, you make up a story. And I'm going to come back after a break and we're going to talk a little bit more about story versus truth and how we fill in the blanks to concoct and draw conclusions that make up a story. But sometimes we learn the truth later, and it is very different from the story we were telling ourselves. And your whole reality starts to change if those stories start to change. So think about that while we go on our break. Remember, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper Smith, your host. I host this podcast. I write this book. So if my voice isn't enough for you, you could read it in a book by the same name. And we are on the Inspired Choices Network. So grab a bite to eat, grab a drink, and come right back to talk more about stories and truths.
Your healing playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. Once again, this is Your Healing Playground, a podcast hosted by myself, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. I am a doctor and speaker and author, just published Your Healing Playground, the book version, basically, of the beginnings of my podcast. And I would invite you to buy it or listen to old podcasts. Perhaps you can go online and listen to podcasts, rate the podcast 5 stars, share it with your friends, share the book, buy the book. It is a bestseller, number one in women's spirituality. But I say it is not just for women. It is for men, and is not just for people who are spiritual, really. So anyway, we were talking, or I was talking, because I'm monologuing it today, about stories versus truths. And one person taught me, I think his name was Frederick Learman, and I heard him a while ago, and he talked about the difference between understanding and overstanding. And we're sent to school to learn, but to understand what we are children in schools where the adults are teaching us, the underlings, the stuff that they know to be true. And they are teaching it as gospel, as not church gospel, but as doctrine, as this is what they know. This is how you do math. This is how you do English. This is history, right? And that's understanding from the generations above you and the stories that they agreed on were true. And the history of those people and before them and before them. But I invite you that overstanding is actually when you get a direct experience of truth from within your body, from your own personal direct experience. It's like you sit, you may be in meditation or in silence. There are people who do dark retreats. There are people who do quiet retreats. And there are people who do retreats where you're clearing your mind. And all of a sudden, you have like this direct knowing, this embodied feeling of, oh, I get it now. and I get it this way versus this way. Or perhaps you're a scientist and you're observing nature over and over again. Keep staying with a curious eye, and you all of a sudden see what's in front of you from a new personal way of looking at it that is sort of overstanding. It's like from above, it just came down in you, and you know that it's true because you just see it. And I invite that both are true and both can be false, in that one is an overstanding, which is a truth for you. It's a direct experience of truth that is 100% true for you. Doesn't always mean it's true for other people, perhaps. And then understandings, very much, you know, we've consented to go to school and be taught by the generation above us and the generation above them, truths, sciences. And yet I remember my mom was a math teacher, and somewhere along the way, they came up with a way to teach arithmetic or division to young kids, and they called it new math. Math is math, right? What is it? And so there was a new way to help kids understand math and their numbers and multiplication and division. There was a time when people 100% agreed that the earth was the center of the universe and the earth was square. Until scientists were observing and observing and observing nature, and they started looking at the sailboats as they left the horizon, and they realized it wasn't like the sailboat went and fell off a cliff. It gradually moved. And that meant it was a circle and not a square and a cliff. And all of a sudden the earth was round. And of course, we've now gone into space and seen the earth is indeed a sphere. We now know that there is earth's gravity, but the sun has its own energy. And the sun is at the center of a solar system, and the gravitational pull and the magnetic attraction between the planets and the atoms in the sky and the earth keep the rotation of the planets, and our whole version and view of the solar system changed. So science is always advancing and always changing. And I invite in even things that were magical before become science with time. So for many years in the healing realm, people who meditated said meditation was good for your heart, and I'm healthy, and I'm healthier now that I meditate. And doctors thought, this is insane. What is this? It's woo-woo, right? They're just sitting and doing nothing. How does that affect anything? And then they started to scientifically study it. And literally, especially the monks in Tibet who and Nepal, who are very, very strong seasoned practice meditators, have been put in functional MRIs, and their brains are mapped and changed, and they get to different brain waves. They literally have different brain waves than people even thought were possible. And now we're learning that when people meditate, their brain waves change, their energy state changes, the vibrational vibration of the molecules in their body changes, and that lowers blood pressure, lowers heart rate. People used to feel you couldn't reverse disease. And yet there's all these N of one studies of people whose heart disease went away, cancers that disappeared, autoimmune diseases that were controlled. And people still think, oh, well, that's just a one-off. Well, it's still somewhat magical of how these people are healing themselves. And yet I invite all of us to realize that beyond what we can explain scientifically, is the story that we say it's magical or it can't be until science proves that it can be. And so science is having a scientific, rational explanation for things that we now have the science to explain with science and maths and physics. But beyond what we can explain, we'll always be pushing a line of what we still can't explain. And like right now, we're really trying to study consciousness and life after death and what happens. And is consciousness truly eternal? And do we persist as a formless body that is consciousness after death? We can't prove it because we don't yet have the science to prove it. And yet there's stuff that is showing up that suggests it's real, that there's a quantum field that we can tap into, and that there's more beyond what we know. And so, my friends, years ago, if you went back into the 1700s and you had an iPhone or even a simple radio and you played music on this radio to the people in the 1700s, they would be looking for the miniature people in the hiding in the radio playing their instruments because they never knew you could hear music that alive human playing the instrument. And now we broadcast radio waves to radios, and we have satellites in the sky that connect our phones, right? And if you showed that to people way back when, they would think you were crazy. They might lock you up. They might think you were a witch who brought a, you know, an evil box in, right? You come with an iPhone and they think it's a gun, right? So what was once fictional story can become scientific truth once we understand it. But similarly, what we once thought were deep truths, humans die and there is no consciousness, there's no life after death. We're still debating that for 5,000 years. The mystics kept talking about it. Do caterpillars know they're going to become butterflies? They think they're dying probably when they get stuck in a cocoon and they're flapping their wings, terrorized probably, and all they know to do is to just try and escape this cocoon and flap their wings because they're locked in a cage. And finally they fly and they become beautiful butterflies. And ironically, if you help them out of their chrysalis, they'll never be able to fly. What if your next traumatic, horrible story of what you're going through was you being the caterpillar stuck in a cage in a chrysalis, and you had to build a new superpower, a new tool, a new muscle that was going to change everything about how you live life, that was going to help you get along better with people, that was going to help you propel you from one low-paying job to a high-paying job? What if the fear of AI is terrorizing many of us, and we don't know if we're going to come out on the other side a year from now, 5 years from now, 20 years from now, all humans out of a job, enslaved by AI, reproducing by cattle farming, which is the IVF farms, no more pleasure for humans. We'll all be doing hard labor because all the white collar jobs, AI does better than us, and they enslave us to be oxen growing crops. Or we're going to be living in a new society where everybody gets along and sits around a fireplace roasting marshmallows because we utilize AI to farm for us, grow our foods, do heavy labor, and we get to sit in connection with other humans, enjoying sunrises, sunsets. And maybe we have universal money for everybody, so everybody has food, water, shelter, and rights to health care. And we live like in Burning Man without dollars and cents and struggle. We share all the art. So we don't know what's on the other side of this scary, traumatic change that's happening in society right now with AI. So what's fact? What's fiction? What's science fiction that becomes documentary? What's your story that's different than my story? And we'll take another break because that was kind of deep, even for me. And I like to go deep if any of you ever listen to me. Remember, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Once again, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. And it would thrill me to no end for you to go to Apple, iTunes, or Spotify, leave a 5-star review, share this podcast with friends, share my book with your friends, Your Healing Playground. I want to help people recognize that the you are in your healing journey or your healing playground is about your personal journey, your personal story. Healing is for you to do. I, as your physician, cannot heal you. Healing happens in connection. And there are so many different ways to heal. When we get curious and expand our thoughts and our emotions and our awareness of our body, there's so many healing tools on this planet that are available, from the simple things like nutrition and sleep and going outside, to, you know, fancy chemotherapy and surgery. And then playground, I just invite everybody, this is your one life. It's your one play that you get to play at in your life. And when we allow our bodies to feel safe enough that we're playing on the playground of life, then our bodies work with us, not against us, to resource ourselves, to rejuvenate or rejuvenate ourselves. to resource, rejuvenate, and reconnect with our authentic self and our authentic mission, purpose, our personality from childhood, way back at like age one or two, not the child that got molded by peer pressure, teachers, and mistakes and fear of failure and all that kind of stuff. And the stories that we were told, money doesn't grow on trees. Well, guess what? Someone once told me, wait, paper money is made of paper. Paper comes from trees. So money actually grows on trees. And what is money anyway? Money is an energy exchange. I put my life force into some level of work or play or some level of service to you or to someone else. And I get paid. Thank you for your service to me. Thank you for sharing your life force energy with me. Shall I pay you in chickens, turkeys, or seed for your farm? Well, I'm actually a physician, so none of those are going to work. And I'd have to find someone to buy my chickens since I'm not going to grow a chicken in my condo. So we've decided as a civilization, instead of bartering chickens, turkeys, seed, oxen, whatever, we will pay in agreed upon coins or paper that we agree upon has a value. That value in a lot of ways is the value of your life energy, your life force energy that went into whatever service you performed, or you worked really hard and you bought something that was made by someone else. They put their life force into making pottery or art or silverware. In the old days, it was silver out of silverware. Someone had to mine the silver, and we bought silver for silverware and we paid for it. And so I just invite that energy gets traveled around and it gets passed around, and there's actually an infinite amount of energy in this universe, which actually means there's an infinite amount of money and abundance. And the fact that we've been taught that if I'm rich, like if I have money, you can't, that there's scarcity and competition, is actually a false story. So I want to play very quickly with some of the dominant stories that have taken over. And when we actively choose the stories that we choose to believe, we are entering into an informed consent dialogue of, am I going to believe A or B, C or D? So we frequently are addicted to being right. So if we were told a story as in a childhood, we cling to that story because we get a hit of dopamine by being right. We're constantly trying to dose our own beings. We get a hit of dopamine, which gives us motivation, oxytocin, which gives us a hug, serotonin, which connects us to others and ourselves, and endorphins, which lessen our pain of what we go through in life. So our brains, our subconscious, and even our conscious brains are always trying to dose us. And so we're often addicted to holding our stories close to our heart because these are truths. But our memories can change over time, and what was true was not really true. It's how our memory distorted it over time. But our ego rewards certainty. And so when we instead stay curious, get out of the story and into the emotion and the feeling, we may actually have an overstanding, a direct experience, which then really shifts our worldview in so many ways. So I invite one story, and I'm not here to talk about religion, good, bad, or which religion or not. But we live in a time where we talk about monotheism being an advancement of the human spirit. We had all these gods and goddesses, and the Romans and the Greeks believed in all these different silly gods and goddesses. And we are more advanced because we have a monotheistic view that all is one and there's one God. Now, personally, I can see very strongly all is one. And if I go really deep into all is one, then all we are is light and energy. And energy is the attraction between molecules. And all we are is molecules and atoms dancing in space, which are always transferring energy back and forth. And so my breath becomes your breath, and my caca becomes fertilizer for the plant, which then feeds me food. And then I digest the food, and that feeds the plant, and we are all one. And that deep connection of everything in this universe, energy is particle, particle is energy, I am you, and you are me. Oneness, deep mystical state of oneness. Oh, I love it. It's beautiful. And then we go to the stories that came out of the oneness. And all of a sudden, we got one God, not one goddess. We used to have gods and goddesses. And humans celebrated the feminine goddess who created life and created something out of nothing. She invited in the sperm, and all of a sudden, there was a baby. So she, just like theoretically, you know, the universe, something became, nothing became something. All of a sudden in the human, nothing becomes something, and the woman is entrusted to create a baby. And we celebrated gods and goddesses. And we celebrated feminine energy, intuition, connection, and the ability to actually go from energy to matter and back, and this deep spirituality. And there was no men are good and or gods are good and goddesses are bad, or goddesses are good and gods are bad. It was a celebration. And if you look at some of the native Aboriginal societies, the qualities of the men are very feminine. The best hunters are intuitive, quiet, can sit for long periods of time and silent. And the woman is, in the hunter-gatherer folks, the woman is busy, you know, creating pottery and cooking and very much the doer. And the hunter might actually be someone who's patient and sitting. So what is a masculine trait? What is a feminine trait, right? We all are masculine and we all are feminine. And the ancients celebrated the masculine and the feminine coming together. Whereas in the monotheistic stories, we often have subjugation instead of collaboration. And I don't remember all the god and goddess stories of ancient Rome and ancient Greece. And I'm not saying that they're better or worse than they weren't, that there wasn't more violence back then. I'm not comparing civilizations, but I'm comparing stories. Who are we celebrating? Is our story, even the story of one God, is it a his story or a her story? Right? Who is celebrated in those stories? The feminine, the masculine, the wise sage, the brilliant child. All of these are parts of life that are stories that we live with, that we get to decide, how do I want to interpret these stories? Are these truths? Or are these 5,000-year-old stories? And can I find a new truth in the story from my own personal observation and discussion? And can that truth be my reality, even if it's not yours? Can we agree to disagree? And we can we recognize that all our stories are the brains making a mind map for us to understand our reality through the lens of our experiences, through the lens of our bacteria and what it's doing for us, through the lens of our neurochemistry, through the lens of how we live our life, and what our conscious minds and subconscious minds want to tell us. And I know I'm going deep. I hope you stick with me. If you can, come on back. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and we'll wrap this up very shortly when we come back from break.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. And I have been talking today about stories, truths, what is real, what's your mind map, what's your reality, and what's just a story. And I have spent my life telling stories. And I had a friend once who said, Tina, stop telling stories. Get to the truth. Feel your body. Feel your emotion. Realize that the stories are just made up explanations. And I know because I've changed so many of my stories. I looked at my life with new eyes, new lenses. Jill Bolt Taylor wrote a book called My Stroke of Insight. She had a stroke, and her stroke, she was 35 years old. She bled in her left brain. And two things were happening. Number one, her left brain was the source of language and the ego, and her left brain was absolutely petrified that she was dying and was terrified asking for help. Simultaneously, her right brain was totally alive and well. There was no blood in it. And she's like, I'm breathing. I'm alive and I'm fine. And she watched as both sides of her brain responded very differently to this traumatic event. And then when she came back, she did get the help and she had to heal. And she described very much talking to her mother and the part of her brain that stored memory and stored emotional memory was gone. And so she would have to sit with her mom and say, Mom, my heart's racing. My hands are sweaty. My palms are sweaty. That's a line of a song, right? My palms are sweaty. My heart's racing. I have butterflies in my stomach. What am I feeling? Because she didn't have the memory of when she felt that feeling before to give her the word for the emotion she was feeling. And so what she teaches us, number one, is that we are feeling beings who think and not thinking beings who feel. That's number one. We live by the story, by the mind trying to control us. But our bodies really are the brilliant ones, and they are feeling beings who think. So feeling comes first. And when she's telling her mom what she's feeling, she has a choice. We are conscious beings of choice. And her mom could say, I don't know what you're feeling. Are you feeling fear or excitement? Because, my friends, if you have prepared your whole life to be a Broadway star and you are getting ready to have a Broadway debut and you are about to go take the stage, you may have sweaty palms and a racy heart and butterflies in your stomach, and it is excitement and you are jazzed. Or you could have all the same sensations and say, I have a fear of public speaking and I am going to die if I have to stand up in front of my boss and give this presentation. Same body sensation, different story. And when did that story get planted? Is it yours? Is it true? Or can you be a conscious being of choice and change that story and go, I am brave. I can do hard things. And yes, I am feeling all these sensations and I can speak in front of others and tell my truth. And so all of a sudden, fear becomes excitement. We have another story that many of us have been taught. There's a victim, a perpetrator, and we need someone to rescue you. That's the triangle that is perpetuated in all the Disney movies and the fairy tales. But what if instead of victim, you could create your life because you're a conscious being of choice? And nobody is perpetrating or purposely hurting you, and yet life is always giving you challenges and obstacles. And all you need is a coach, not a rescuer, to cheer you on and remind you that you got this. So fear can be false expectations appearing real, or face everything and rise. And my friends, the truth becomes the story you tell yourself, and the story you tell yourself will become your truth. But between the stimulus and the response, you always have choice to make a new story, to choose the words, feel the sensations, notice the stories, and go, that's an old story. That's my mother's story. That's the way I used to think it. Is that true? Did that really happen the way I thought it happened? Or did I make up a story because I didn't know the truth? And so do you see how stories can become truths and truths can become stories, and they can intertwine and keep us on our toes and true to who we are and aligned, or they can pull us away and have us become the human that someone else wants us to be, or that we think someone else tells us we have to be. So my friends, be a conscious being of choice. Live by your values. Know your sensations. And actively choose to listen or delete the stories that were part of your past. Because truly, the only truth is this moment right now. The past is over and the future's not guaranteed. So get rid of story and be present to the now and notice how life becomes easier when you can just be present in your body, noticing your feelings and choosing, actively choosing the story you want to tell or the story you want to delete. So my friends, live your best life, be a conscious being of choice, find a coach that challenges you to see every challenge, every obstacle as a challenge that you can rise to the occasion and literally live the life that you choose to live. You don't need to be a victim of circumstance. You don't need to be a victim of someone else's persecution. And certainly, please don't let your inner judge flagellate yourself so that you're a victim to your own inner critic. I did that for too many years. It's a story I've let go of. Have an amazing day.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine.